King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio, along with kicking off the Christmas season. We want to give you some suggestions for some things you might want to buy for Christmas gifts. This is on that list. This is a new album by an extraordinarily talented Chicago guitarist, our friend Joel Patterson. The album is called Let It Be Guitar. Joel Patterson plays the Beatles. And
this is all Joel.
Yeah, everything you hear is Joel. We were at a CD release party up in Evanston at Space. And
it blew me away.
Everybody was just crazy for it.
We foolishly waited to get our tickets, so we ended up sitting in general admission. I was tickled because we were practically on the stage.
It was fun.
Off to the side, and he walks around, and he's looking right at you playing guitar. And we've had him in studio many times, but it was so cool to see him on stage. And if you're a Beatles fan, ask Santa for this because you're going to love it.
Yeah, it's got a ton of great things. With different songs, sometimes he does little sly winks. Like, if you're paying attention, if you're a musician, you recognize, yes, this is Things We Said Today, but it's done in the style of Jorgen Ingman's Apache.
Oh.
With a lot of things reminiscent of what Jorgen Ingman did. They're both songs that were done in a minor key, and it's, I'm getting into a little bit of music geekiness, but it's a really cool album.
Yeah. If you get a chance to see him live, too.
Yeah.
It's a real treat.
And he performs a number of places.
Green Mill on Sunday night.
Just go to joelpatterson.com and you'll
find one T, no waiting.
Or you can find him on Facebook, too.
Yes.
Well, now we get to segue and talk to a man that, full disclosure, he is a friend of ours. And
just at his house on Sunday night.
We're just at his house a week ago Sunday for a Friendsgiving. And it was a wonderful time.
It was.
And he is an extraordinary author. He is a New York Times best-selling author, a USA Today best-selling author.
I quite seriously doubt that there's any more prolific writer. Every time we turn around, there's another book release. It amazes me the way he is able to put out these books that are so good. I mean, just when I think I've read my favorite one, the next one comes out and I read it and go, no, this is my favorite one. And I just started his very latest one, Blood and Sand, part of his John Jordan series. And if you don't know Michael Lister, you should know Michael Lister. So we want to introduce you to him so you'll get to know him here on the radio tonight. Michael, good evening.
Good evening. Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you.
And same to you, Michael.
Did you have something like 81 degrees in Wewahitchka, Florida?
It has been extremely warm and very, very nice the last couple of days.
Yeah, and we were talking about Wewahitchka, Florida yesterday, the home of the Tupelo honey, right?
World famous Tupelo honey.
World famous.
Best honey.
Well, we got into a conversation over dinner about a movie. I'll take you on a little bit of a left turn, but you are a film fan. Is Uli's Gold with Peter Fonda, is that a movie that was actually filmed in Wewahitchka?
It sure was, yep. Uli's Gold, it was written and directed by a professor of film at Florida State University, but he based it on the Tupelo honey crop and harvest here, and our little town, Wewahitchka, is the really only place in the world that Tupelo honey can be produced commercially, and like enough of it can be made to have a commercial crop. And so he based it on some of the beekeepers here, and he shot it here. I have several friends that are extras in the movie, and I had the opportunity to be because they shot at the prison, and I was the chaplain there at the time. And I said, you know, I had so much going on that I didn't do it. But several of my friends are in it, and it's a really excellent film.
That's interesting, because that was our conversation over dinner, and we all said, we've got to go to Netflix and find this movie by the time we were done talking about it. Well, you are also a filmmaker as well as a novelist. But please, will you share a moment, just a little bit of behind the scenes? You have almost 40 books under your belt, don't you? 40, it's 30-something that you've written. What's the number?
Yeah, and definitely in the 30s, high 30s. I don't know exactly how many it is, but and then, of course, in my main series, the John Jordan series, the 23rd book just came out.
The 23rd in the series with the same main character, John Jordan. But I will tell you, because I shared one of your books with a neighbor, and it was like number 18. It's a standalone. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say, Michael? You don't have to begin at the beginning to get to know this John Jordan character.
Absolutely. Yeah, readers tend to want to read them in order, mm-hmm. but the way I do it is each mystery plot of each novel is contained. So if you read them in order, you'll see the character arcs better, and you'll see the personal journeys that go on, you know, with the characters from book to book and over the course of the series. But you if you pick up one anywhere in the series, you will get a complete story, a complete mystery investigated mm-hmm. and solved in the course of that one book.
But if you do read all of them, you get, and this is a compliment to your writing ability, you care about these people. There right. is a family and extended family friends that populate a lot of the stories, and you really care about them.
One
of the things I want to ask you about is, as the more that you write about these various characters, you kind of get to know their personalities. Their personalities are defined. So does that make your writing easier or harder because you know what these characters would say? And sometimes you would want them to say that, or sometimes mm-hmm. you don't want them to say that, or how does that work for you?
You're exactly right. It does make it easier because the more I know them, the better I know them, the more easy it is to write. And so I know what they will and will not do. I know what their personality quirks are, their traits, their preferences. And hopefully readers get to know them over the course of the series and like you said, come to know them as old friends. And so every time a new book comes out, it's like getting to spend time with close friends. And a lot of times in literature, we get to know the characters better than we know most of the people around us at any given time mm-hmm. because we're inside of them. You know, we're getting mm-hmm. so much of their thoughts and their motivations. And I mean, to me, that's the joy of reading is the humanity we get to experience. And I think it expands our own and helps us to become more compassionate and understanding of others because we're spending time inside of characters. The only other thing I would say, based on what you just mentioned about the series and John having this network of family and friends, is that there's a tradition especially in hard-boiled mystery series, where the detective is a loner. You know, he's this lone wolf, mm-hmm. just really isolated, not connected. And that just didn't appeal to me in any way. So from the very beginning, John has had, you know, this family. Both parents were alive at the beginning of the series, and a brother, and then this close network of friends that are very much like family, in the same way you guys are like family to me, and like at our gathering for Friendsgiving, you know, to me we call it Friendsgiving, but everybody there is like family, you know. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted John to have that, and I've had a lot of reviewers comment on that and how much they appreciate it and how different it is from so many of the unattached characters that are, you know, populate crime fiction.
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny mentioned a few minutes ago that part of your background is that of a prison chaplain, and you bring that into John Jordan's background, don't you?
I do. When I was first conceiving of the series, you know, I was looking at, there were so many great series out there, and rather than just having another detective, a PI or a cop, I thought, you know, what would be another interesting vocation that would enable a detective to, you know, have a more well-rounded job and work life, but he would still come in contact with criminals and crime and have plenty of mysteries to solve. And it just so happened to be where I was transitioning into prison chaplaincy, something that, you know, even though I went to school and my degrees are in theology, I never considered prison chaplaincy. That was just not on my radar. And it was really serendipitous how it all came about that I became a chaplain. And so I just knew that was the career I wanted John to have at that point in his life, you know, in his career. He's always been an investigator, and sometimes over the course of the series, over the course of his life, sometimes that's his main job. His primary job is as a detective or an investigator, an actual police officer. Other times it's as a chaplain, but he's always investigating, whether it's officially or unofficially. He can't help himself. And because he's pretty skilled at it and has done it for so long, more and more people are aware of it, and they come to him with mysteries to solve.
You were, and I guess you still remain, the person who was the youngest chaplain in Florida. Is that correct? Prison chaplain?
Yes. When I was I became a chaplain with the state of Florida in 1993.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, there's only about 100 chaplains in the state prison system. And at that time, I know my goal at that time in my life was to be published by the time I was 30.
So were you writing while you were a chaplain?
I was. Absolutely was. I got to live my research, and I got paid by the state of Florida to do that, which is incredible. But every break I got, every lunch break, I would spend my time writing, and because I was getting so many ideas, and I was so inspired by all I was seeing. Prison's its own little world. Mm-hmm. And I wanted John, I never wanted the series just to be set in prison. So there's always mysteries and cases he's working on outside of prison. But I also wanted to give readers a glimpse into, you know, what a strange world that is and how it is a world unto itself and with different norms and different conventions. And it's just a different social order. And yet, in some ways, it mirrors, you know, the world outside of prison. So yeah, I was writing it. I remember sitting in orientation, so new employee orientation. I was already working on the first John Jordan novel.
I love it.
Notes,
you said that. It's fallen into my lap, and I just have to do it. It's my destiny. We're talking with Michael Lister.
Part of the reason I took the job was because of that. That I really, that was one of my motivations.
That's great.
Just so research the series.
Michael has this incredible, has a couple of incredible series. We're both engrossed in the John Jordan series at this point, and that's what we're talking about. And he has a brand new one out in that series. Michael Lister is our guest. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here on WGN.
Steve King and Johnny Putman at WGN Radio. We're talking with New York Times best-selling author and a dear friend, Michael Lister. And I'm playing this song in particular right now because this is a song that I recorded a couple years ago with a dear friend of all of ours, who unfortunately recently passed away. His name was Dave Lloyd, and he's the guy that you hear playing behind me, playing an instrument called a Chapman stick. And to this day, I don't know how any human being could play this incredible 10-stringed instrument, but he did just an extraordinary job. And one of the many reasons we appreciate Michael Lister's friendship is because of the things that he keeps as his top priorities. And after Dave Lloyd passed away, Michael came to us and he said, I want to do something to help Dave's children. So, along with several other people, Michael and I participated in a CD that is currently available. And Michael, am I correct? It is still available through your website?
Yes. Yeah, we have a few copies left. We're getting actually close to being out of our first print run or pressing, whatever you call it. But yeah, there are some left.
And the album is called...
He started playing, I recognized it, and I was like, oh, man, I'm so glad you're playing that. You sound amazing, and you and Dave together really does something for my heart.
Dave was an extraordinary musician. The album is called Into the Mystic, a Dave Lloyd tribute album. And if people would like to get it, it has a total of 16 cuts by some extraordinary musicians from the Gulf Coast.
Including Michael Lister.
Including Michael Lister, exactly. And the money is being used to help the education of Michael's...
Dave's daughters.
Dave's daughters.
Four daughters, yeah.
Yeah. So, and again, they can find it just to go to your website, and I believe it is under... is it under books or video or photos?
Yeah, I think it's under the video and photos tag. It's okay. Just michaellister.com, and it's pretty easy to find once you get there.
And we have a link to your page on our page. And when people click on books, they're going to see this page of all the covers of your books. So I want to take you back to the how do you do this? Do you say every single day of your life, this is my job, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write X number of hours a day? Is that how it works?
I used to do that where I wrote every single day. Now, what I've found to be most effective for me is when I'm in the middle of writing a novel or when I'm writing a novel, I write every single day for several hours.
Mm-hmm.
But now when I finish a novel, and then, of course, it goes into the editing process, but when it's completely done, I actually take a little time off now. And so sometimes I'll turn to writing nonfiction, or sometimes I won't write at all for a few days, and I'll do more research. And so the intensity of writing a novel, I'm not doing that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I'm giving myself probably a 3 week to 1 month period in between working on projects, and that's just what's worked best for me. Previously, I was pretty much, the moment I finished one novel, I started another.
Wow.
And now, just the rhythm and the, I don't know, it just seems, it works for me.
Mm-hmm.
So that I can have recharge, refresh. I'll do a lot of reading in between, like I said, a lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
And let the ideas for the next one formulate. And sometimes I already have them, you know, before I even finish the one I'm working on, but other times I just have some vague notions or ideas, and so I'll spend a little time just letting it percolate, you know, and mm-hmm. let's see what happens, where it goes, and it's just the process that's working for me the best right now.
We should mention the most recent John Jordan novel is Blood and Sand, and I have to tell you, there is a point in this novel, and I've had it happen in a number of your books, where I'm reading along, and all of a sudden, at the end of one chapter, there's a, what? And then you start the next chapter. And I'm not kidding, because I read a lot late at night. All of a sudden, I find my heart is starting to beat a little faster
mm-hmm.
because of the way you describe some things. And
yeah.
Suddenly, it's, how are they going? What? I don't know how you do that. But it's wonderful. And I should mention, too, I read Blood and Sand in a day and a half.
He was very quiet.
Wow.
So now I have it in hand, but I just went to your website, and I see that we don't have the very latest. You actually have two more coming out before the end of the year. Is that correct?
Only one. This is the last novel for this year, Blood and Sand.
Mm-hmm.
Which I should say it was really inspired by the Madeleine McCann case.
Right.
And I bet a lot of your listeners are familiar with that. And there's a great Netflix documentary called The Disappearance of Madeleine McCann. And that really is a great, great multi-part documentary. And that inspired this one. So this is the last novel. But I have a novella called A John Jordan Christmas that is actually coming out on Christmas Day.
Great.
Yeah.
I'm chuckling because I'm looking at Steve because he's like, okay, Santa.
Yeah, yeah, Santa.
Are you going to work on
Santa?
That for me? Do you recall?
Speaking of Santa, right now I have, with your listeners in mind, I have taken the first six John Jordan mysteries. There's a box set collection available at Amazon for the Kindle, and it's only 99 cents right now.
What?
So if somebody wants to try John Jordan, they could actually get the first complete six novels. Started off with, for just 99 cents.
Wow.
So just want to
thank you. That's awesome.
So for our listeners, so if anybody is sitting at their computers right now, what would they do? Where do they go? How do they order it?
Just go to Amazon.com and you can type in six John Jordan mysteries or type in my name, Michael Lister, and you'll see the box set come up. And it's, like I said, just for a limited time, it's 99 cents, but I just so appreciate you guys having me on and allowing me to share a little bit about
that.
This
is so cool.
Character of John Jordan. So thank you. Yeah,
that is so cool. Do you recall? Because I can recall when I first realized that you had made it on the New York Times bestseller list. Can you recall when you first went what? And you got the news.
I can remember that because a writer friend of mine contacted me to congratulate me.
Oh.
And I hadn't seen it yet. Yeah. And I had some notion that I might hit it this particular week, so I was certainly looking. And I had just looked, just within a few hours, had looked online, because it comes out online first. And I see it. And I said, when she contacted, she said, congratulations, so happy for you. And I was like, I don't think, and she said, no, I'm looking at the list right now, and you're on it.
That is so
cool. So I rushed back to the computer and refreshed, and it was there, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing.
I bet it was. I got goosebumps as you told the story, Michael. And thank you so much for that generous gift, this Christmas gift, 99 cents for your box set, and thank you for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
And people can check out your website, michaellister.com. And thank you again for having us over for Friendsgiving.
And we'll see you in January.
We'll see you in January. And give Dawn a hug from us.
Look forward to it. Thanks,
Michael. Good night.
Take care.
More coming up. Stay with us at WGN. Okay, and here we are.
Did you hear that? I'm on Amazon right now. I've got the first six, but I'm thinking, you guys, you will, if you love mysteries, if you love a well-told story, you're going to love the John Jordan series.
Yeah.
He's developed this character so beautifully. I see him in a movie every time I read a book. I'm so impressed with Michael's writing, and we knew his writing before we got to know him. So go to Amazon.com and type in Michael Lister, Lister, and his first six in the John Jordan series is a box set, and you can have it on Kindle for 99 cents. You can't get much for 99 cents these days, much less that
Kind of quality.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
we first became fans of Michael Lister when we went to a library presentation he was doing, and it was about a novel in the, he does a number of series, and there's another character named Remington James, and the book was called Double Exposure, and we were just blown away by it. In fact, forgot to ask Michael, what's happening? Because the Double Exposure has been optioned for a motion picture, and we don't know. We forgot to ask him where that's at.
We'll see if he still takes our calls after Hollywood gets hold of him. Well, it was a pleasure to have an opportunity to talk to him on the radio and give you guys a chance to get to know him a little bit more.
Out of the news, we're going to be joined by two extraordinarily talented people. I keep saying extraordinarily talented.
It's a night of really talented people.
Yeah, we've got some talented friends.
And us.
Yeah,
we're
us
just
too.
Here, keeping the seats warm.
Josh Solomon and Erica Brett of The Empty Pockets will be joining us in studio and performing live, so stay with us.